Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Israel's victories were commonly celebrated by women singing and dancing. God's people weren't victorious because of their military might or technology. They were victorious solely because the Lord gave the word. We can be victorious if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who has ascended on high after his victory over death. Please open your Bible to Psalm 68, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of Psalm 67 and 68.
God is good. That's one of the foundational truths that we must embrace in our hearts tonight, beloved. God is good. He's good. The psalmist would say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his wonderful works towards the children of men. God's goodness. The Lord gave the word, verse 11. Oh, thank God for the word. Great was the company of those that published it. It's interesting. One of my word study books said that company comes from a feminine word that can be translated the women who publish the tidings are a great host. And it is interesting. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, and in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, that Israel's victories were commonly celebrated by women singing and dancing, and those victory processions as they're singing of the victory of God, the power of God. I want you to note, beloved, that God declared beforehand that he would be victorious over the Canaanite kings. And Jesus Christ is the victorious conquering King of Kings. Verse 12, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. I want us to note here again tonight, beloved, that God's people weren't victorious because of their military might or technology. They were victorious solely because God gave the word. And here in verses 12 and 13, those who did not participate in the battle nonetheless enjoyed victory because the Lord had won it. I think of how the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison there in the book of Philippi, was talking about how the people of Philippi had financially blessed him and supported him. And he says, I'm not mentioning this because I made an appeal to you for money. But he says, because of your support, they were actually partakers of the fruit of the harvest in Paul's life. Isn't it wonderful to know that you and I can align our hearts with one another, and where we sow seed of prayer or seed of practical involvement or sow seed of victory? We may not be on that particular battlefield, but when we stand before the Lord and we've done what we've done out of a love for him and out of a pure motive, that there will be that reward, there will be that blessing. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, and one day Christ is going to come, and all of the kings of this world will scatter. It was white as snow and salmon, mentioned there in Judges 9:48. The hill of God as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. In the northeastern border of Israel are the hills of Bashan. They're the biggest mountains in the region, peaking there at Mount Hermon. The hill of Bashan was the highest in the region, but nothing in comparison to the hill where God chose to dwell, Zion, which is not high in size, but it is in significance. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Again, the mountains surrounding Bashan, including the towering Mount Hermon, are portrayed here as being jealous because God has chosen Mount Zion as the seat of his rule, making it the highest mountain of all. Creation, the mountains, jealous over little hill Bashan, but little hill of Zion, rather. But little hill of Zion was the place on the sides of the north where God chose to dwell forever. And now God dwells in you. God dwells in little old you and little old me. And we're surrounded by people who are men and women of great influence or great significance in worldly terms. And isn't it interesting how the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 these words: "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Now notice why: "that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And though you and I may in the eyes of the world, because of our love for Christ and devotion to Christ, we may be despised, we may be looked down upon, but God calls us his bride, his precious people. How wonderful that is. Verse 17, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place." Angels are frequently spoken of as being chariots. You recall how Elijah was escorted to heaven in a fiery chariot. And when Elijah's servant's eyes were opened, he saw fiery chariots ready to defend them. Oh, how we need to have our eyes open tonight, beloved. How we need to see in the heavenlies. How we need to see what God is doing in the heavenlies. It's so easy to be gripped and be consumed and captivated by what we see going on earth. But may God open our eyes. Like Elisha prayed for his servant, "Open his eyes that he may see, Lord God, what you are doing." And now, the messianic prophecy: "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." The Quest Study Bible says this, quote, "This is a symbolic way of describing a victorious, triumphant God. Just as conquering kings of that era returned to their courts with the spoils of war, God is pictured returning to the courts of heaven following his victories against the enemies of his people. In the Old Testament days, Those who died couldn't go directly to heaven because Christ did not yet die for their sins. They went to a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. But after Christ died on the cross, Paul tells us that he descended into that paradise, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And in Ephesians 4, we read that he gave to some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so here we see this messianic prophecy that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And we find in the New Testament the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry gifts. Thank God for the gifts that he has given to us, through whom and by which we edify one another. We reach the lost with the gospel, and we give glory to him. Look at verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Give thanks to the Lord for today's daily load of benefits. I heard it said years ago, if we only had today what we thank God for yesterday, what would we have? We have so much to be thankful for. Warren Wiersbe writes this: a blessing is a gift from God that glorifies his name, helps his people, and through them reaches out to help others who will glorify his name. God blesses us that we might be a blessing to other. The Bible says that you and I are to be stewards of the blessings of God. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Oh, the benefit package of the child of God far exceed the greatest material blessings or benefit packages that any company could ever give us on earth. It's beyond dollar value. Verse 20, he that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues, or the ways of escape from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. He doesn't quickly pull the trigger of judgment. But just as sure as God assures the life of his people, so he will crush those who reject him and oppose him. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Notice, God says, I will do this. I will do this. That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Notice David, my God, my King. Again, the celebration. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with the timbrels. Again, a description of the celebration when the Ark of the Covenant, a symbol of God's presence, was brought to Mount Zion. And recall how David danced before the Lord so passionately. And remember how Michael, his wife, accused him of being an exhibitionist, and he says, I am not an exhibitionist. I love the Lord, and I will gladly show and demonstrate my love for him. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. And so here they are entering into the sanctuary in this worship setting. And you've got the tribes of Benjamin and Judah and Zebulun and Naphtali. And two from the south and two from the north, representing the whole nation, coming together now around the ark. And we gather together around the ark. We gather around the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. He's the center of all attention. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. How you and I need the strength of God. Human strength is incapable of accomplishing the work of God. We need God's strength. We need holy strength. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Verse 30, rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Verse 30 describes the defeat of the Gentile enemies, here described as fierce wild animals, is a good thing. Just like we read about the beasts in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. In Isaiah 45 verse 14 we read, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. There is none else. There is no God. Over and over in the book of Isaiah, God says, I am the Lord, and before me there is no other. There is no other God. There is one God, one Lord, one Creator. And God says, beside me there is no other. I know of no other. God is in thee, the psalmist says. Sing unto God, verse 32. Again, ye kingdoms of the earth, oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah, sing to God. Sing to him. Sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. You know, music is a powerful vehicle. It's a means of communicating messages, whether they be good or bad. And right now, just think of all of the various songs that are being broadcast around the world. Think of all of the songs, the messages that they are conveying. But in heaven, there's one frequency. It's JESUS is Lord Radio. And we are to sing songs unto him. We are to sing praises unto him. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the music. And I don't want to drag you into your past because it's my past. The music that you used to listen to. The message of despair and hopelessness. Messages that just glorified sin or immorality. And now we sing unto God songs of praise, songs of worship, songs of victory, songs of hope, songs of life. Selah. Verse 33, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Oh, the mighty voice of God. Psalm 29 talks about the voice of the Lord many times, but in verse 4 we read, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. How God's word is powerful. Remember that, beloved. God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, we read, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. The earth shined with his glory. The glory of God. His voice as the noise of many waters, a mighty voice, a powerful voice, a glorious voice. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and they know me, and they will hear my voice. And God's voice, even though it may be still, is powerful and mighty. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible. Now, the King James, terrible then doesn't mean what it means now. Terrible means awesome. O God, you are awesome out of your holy places. The God of Israel, notice in closing tonight, notice this. The God of Israel is he that gives strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Perhaps tonight in closing, your need is for God's strength. Your need is for the power of God. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He will. God declares that he will give strength unto his people and bless his people with peace. And just as God told Joshua when he took over from Moses, I've given you all the land, and yet there's the law of apparition. Every place where your soul steps, I'll give it to you. So even though all was given, they only received as much as they by faith took the promise of God. God says, I'll give you strength. I will give you peace. Receive it. And who does he give strength and peace to? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And just like we saw in Psalm 67 in closing, why does God give to those who are faint power and to those who have no might strength? Why does he do that? That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. That the testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord would be proclaimed in all the earth. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.